Better Leaders, Better Schools, episode number 19.
Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where school leaders go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top influencers in education. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Daniel Bauer.
I think it's just a matter of being really honest to yourself and to what's working and what's not working. Because what's working, that's something you should definitely not let go of. And then just being honest about what's not working, why it's not.
Hey, this is Daniel Bauer from Better Leaders, Better Schools. I help school leaders create a winning culture, focus on the essential, and lead with courage and integrity. The blog and podcast was made specifically for you to help you meet your leadership potential. Get more content and resources at betterleadersbetterschools.com. Better leaders, do you need some winning leadership phrases? Download my free gift to you, the 15 Phrases of Effective School Leaders. The 15 Phrases of Effective School Leaders is an MP3 where I share a variety of phrases that have served me so well over the years in all my leadership positions. Get it now for free by texting phrases to 33444. That's phrases, P-H-R-A-S-E-S, to 33444, or by visiting the website betterleadersbetterschools.com. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at betterleadersbetterschools.com/book. Listen to this. There are over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And now it's time for some 5-star reviews. Roxana, PhD, to be writes, Better Leaders, Better Schools has engaged me and broadened my perspective of what it means to be a change agent in my school. I appreciate the variety of speakers and their candidness to tell it as it is. Our work is not easy, and we need to support each other as much as possible. Finally, I have found the underlying theme of service, which thread the podcast together. Our work is definitely one of service for a greater good. Thank you for all you do. And Roxana, personally to you, I want to thank you. I know we connected on a phone call. We've emailed back and forth. Your rating and review means a whole lot to me. Thank you. Today's guest is Lynn Johansson. She is the Chief Community Director at the Community Lab. Lynn developed the community strategy and model for the Learn Outside the Lines K-12 community group on LinkedIn. Lynn works with innovation and product development, and her approach is relationship first and value creation. Ladies and gents, may I introduce to you Lynn Johansson.
Hi, guys. I'm thrilled to be here as well. Thank you for that lovely introduction.
Absolutely. So, you know, I was really interested in your LinkedIn profile and definitely the work you do in the Learn Outside the Lines community group. Can you tell me a little bit more about how you came up with the strategy and the model behind that community?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So I don't personally manage that community, but one of my community managers do. And the strategy that I built around that, it's very fundamental. So it's all about, as you said, it's all about relationships and building really authentic and really good relationships with the members in the community. It's about creating a safe place, in my opinion, where people can discuss education and where they can come for support, where it, a positive place. Yeah.
Well, that's great. I love the ideas of a positive place, a safe place, and an authentic space for school leaders to connect. Has there been any experiences in your life that have shown you that that's the approach you should take when building an online community? Or where did you learn this? Why do you have such a high value on those things?
I think that comes from me personally. I truly believe in being genuine as a person, and in having genuine relationships. So I think when I started developing this, this is what I thought was important, and or my assumption of what was important in a community. And then when I was testing it out, that's what I realized was working as well.
You know, and building relationships, I think, can be so easy. Well, not necessarily easy, but it's easier face to face. We could see nonverbal communication. I love physical touch, so I give hugs to people that I'm close with. But on an online space, it could be a little bit trickier. So how do you focus on building, I guess, those authentic relationships in an online space?
Great question. Yeah, there's definitely a couple of challenges you have when you don't see the people you're actually talking to and you're in an online space. I think it's about listening, focusing a bit, because as you said, in face to face, you can see what a person is saying with their body language, etc., and their tone, which you can't in an online space. So you have to really listen and ask questions. I think that's our approach and how we solve it.
Yeah, and I think questions, I love what you bring up there, can be such a key, I guess, strategy to listen and focus and build relationships. Are there any sort of like question starters that are go-to for you to help build those relationships? Or is it just really dependent on each individual person and what you're trying to build in terms of relationship with each person?
No, I definitely have kind of a starter. And those, I think, in any community is what's interesting for you? What would you like to talk about? And asking those questions to members individually and working with that. If a member says, oh, I would like to talk about professional development as an administrator, then I will take a note of that and create a discussion around that later on.
Yeah, I think that's so great because it's definitely tailored to each individual in identifying what's important to them. In building content, for the folks in the Learn Outside the Lines LinkedIn group. But also if you just bridge this to really any industry, but for us school principals in schools, and you ask parents, what do they want for their kids? You ask kids, what do they want in the curriculum or their experience in school? And teachers, what do they want out of the profession? And you really dial into those answers. You can create an amazing experience for all the stakeholders regarding the school.
Mm.
So, Lynn, how would you describe your leadership style and how did you develop this style? Were there any mentors or experiences that helped you develop your leadership style?
Mm-hmm. I think there's two different parts to it. The first one is providing adequate training for your employees and making sure that they know how to do their jobs best way possible. And then after that, because in the beginning, I'm usually quite hands-on with training and making sure that our community managers understand why things are done the way they are, or the principles behind working with a relationship approach, for example. And then once I know that my employees know their job and know the principles and understand the fundamentals, then I have a much more hands-off approach. And I think it's a lot about empowering and listening to their suggestions.
Yeah, and when you provide this type of training, I know at first you said you're very hands-on and then you're more hands-off.
Mm-hmm.
As organization grows, as the employees become more seasoned and experienced, does the training come from in-house, like within, the more developed or higher performing employees? Do they put on the training for the others, or is that something you look to outside consultants for? Have you found an approach that works better for you guys?
Yeah, absolutely. I do the training myself. Yeah. And to answer your second question there, I think that's something that I believe in personally, but that's something also that comes from the company culture within the community lab. And it comes a lot from the CEO, which has a very empowering, hands-off approach once people are doing what their job is.
Sure. And, you know, I didn't send this as a question to you prior to the interview, but I'm very interested in how organizations build and sustain their cultures. So this sort of hands-on approach and then gradual release of responsibility to the employees, how was that culture established at the Community Lab? And is there anything that you do very purposefully in terms of messaging and stuff to sustain and build that culture?
Messaging in terms of...
I don't know if it's signs that people see in the office. I'm not sure. Maybe it's in the email signature. I don't know. Okay. The mission of the organization.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a lot about setting that tone from the beginning. And just making sure that everyone knows that, hey, if you have any suggestions, if you have a better way of doing this, then share it with the company and share it with the rest of us. And, you know, listening. And this is what I experienced when I started working for the company from the CEO. And this is what I try to give to the rest of the employees. And I think the CEO has a big role in this. Yeah.
Hmm. You know, in your LinkedIn profile and little bio that you sent me, you talked about innovation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times schools are actually very, very much lacking in their ability to innovate in the educational space. So I was wondering, are there any insights that you have regarding innovation, any strategies or tips that you could share with school principals and school leaders that want to be innovative, but they don't know how?
Mm-hmm. Thanks for that question. That's a really good question. I think first off, or to start with, it's about mindset and letting go of that. This is the way we've always done it, and this is the way things are done, and just completely letting go of that. And instead looking at the different, looking at what you have and really understanding it. So I think it's important to be hands-on there with whatever it may be that you would like to innovate. Once you have let go of that type of mindset and you look at what's actually working and what isn't, and I think it's really important that it's really important to understand why things aren't working or why things are working, because then you can see the principles behind it and you can start to see patterns. And it's due diligence. So it's a lot of research and it's a lot of work looking into these things and understanding why things are working or not. I think talking to the employees that are working with whatever it is you want to innovate and listening to their suggestions, because I think a lot of insight is already there. You just have to be willing to listen. And then I think there's other things you can look at, like other schools. What are they doing really well? Looking at things that you're doing really well in your school as well. Maybe that's something that's applicable to other elements and other aspects of the school where you need to innovate or want to innovate.
I think that's a really great insight. One, looking at other high-performing schools and try to learn from the best and emulate or reproduce what they do. But an even more valuable insight, which I think is really pure gold, you talked about, are you willing to listen to your employees? And I think very often, or maybe too often, leaders can get really like they fell in love with their vision for what they want the school or the organization to become. And they get so laser focused and develop this tunnel vision that it's the vision or else. But if you don't listen to the employees who say, hey, here's something we can fix, here's a better way. If you don't listen to the folks on the ground on the front lines, the vision will never happen.
Yeah. And I think that's a really good way of getting buy-in as well, because that's going to be so important when you're implementing that innovation or that change, because change is quite hard. Especially, I think this is especially applicable at a school because there's so many people involved. and so many professionals that you're working with.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think too, to get that buy-in, just that simple, it's not a simple step, but the idea of actually listening and making change based on your employees' insights, they will develop a trust and a connection to you as a leader if you just take that step and let your guard down. A second ago, you talked about the growth mindset and having people let go of tradition or the way things were always done in terms of the importance of innovation. But, you know, not everyone, I'm sure, comes to the community lab with that mindset or that ability or skill set to just let things roll off their shoulders. So is there anything specifically you do to help them develop that mindset?
No, I can't say. I think it's just a matter of being really honest to yourself and to what's working and what's not working. Because what's working, that's something you should definitely not let go of. And then just being honest about what's not working and why it's not.
Let's pause here for a moment for a message from our sponsors. This podcast is a proud member of the Education Podcast Network. The Education Podcast Network, podcasts for educators, podcasts by educators. For more great education podcasts, visit edupodcastnetwork.com. That's edupodcastnetwork.com. Better leaders, are you looking to upgrade your leadership potential? I have another free gift for you. This one is a PDF, which I call 15 questions guaranteed to unlock your leadership potential. Unlock your leadership potential now for free by texting UNLOCK NOW. That's all one word, no spaces, to 33444. Text UNLOCK NOW to 33444 for your free gift. 15 questions guaranteed to unlock your leadership potential. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at betterleadersbetterschools.com/book. Listen to this. There are over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. That's right. A free audiobook download and 30-day free trial is yours at betterleadersbetterschools.com/book. betterleadersbetterschools.com/book. And now, back to our show. So let me ask you this, because I don't think a lot of school leaders are trained very effectively to maybe look at data and actually identify what's working or what's broken. So what is it that you guys do to be able to identify what's working and what's not working?
Great question. I think it's both art and science in our case. Science being data-driven, so looking at click-throughs and numbers and responses within the community. And then when it comes to art, I mean, it's relationship-based. So it's about the feeling that you have, about your gut instinct as well.
Yeah, that makes sense. So I think school leaders have a lot dumped on them, Lynn, and they're extremely busy, as you are as well, in your role. So is there anything that you do to avoid distractions and stay focused? What type of boundaries have you set up at work to ensure your success?
That's always a difficult question, isn't it? I think it's about, removing distractions and just, for example, I work a lot on my computer, just removing anything that's not work-related. Listening to music helps me a lot. And it's always that balance between being available for your employees and not being distracted by it to the degree that you actually have the time to do your own work as well. Yeah.
And listen, I'm a music lover, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners are as well. So this doesn't necessarily totally connect to school leadership, but what type of music do you like to listen to while you're working?
Interesting. I usually listen to deep house without any vocals, just because it puts you in a good mood, but it doesn't distract you with any lyrics.
Yeah, I have a very similar, style with that, so I appreciate that answer. Is there any DJs or artists that you want everyone to check out?
I think Robin Schulz is great. Love his stuff. I also think Kygo, it's spelled K-Y-G-O, is a great one as well. Aleph Arben is really good. I like his, it's an upbeat, quite happy music.
Awesome. We'll have those in the show notes so people can check out those artists.
Okay.
So, you know, you're an expert in branding, and I think schools want to be experts in branding, but they really don't have an idea a lot of times of what they're doing. So from your expertise in your industry, what are the keys to developing a brand that would benefit schools in their journey to, you know, differentiate themselves from other schools?
Mm-hmm. I think it's a lot about looking at your target audience. So that would be both parents and students, and looking at what their needs are, looking at what their aspirations are, and understanding that target audience. And then looking at the competition you have within the space, and then looking at yourself and your school, and looking at your strengths and weaknesses. And from there, you're going to be able to differentiate yourself.
And let me ask you this. What is one book that you think every leader or principal should read right now? And why is that?
I know that Iboro, I think, mentioned this one as well. My recommendation is Sally Hogshead and her book, How to Fascinate. Because it's a great book, and it really dives deep into the strengths of every single person, and how you work with that strength, those strengths. And because if you know the strength of your employees and the weaknesses as well, then you can delegate and work with that.
Yeah, I love those materials. That was actually me who gave the shout out to Sally Hogshead.
But I'm okay.
It's not a problem. I'm gonna see Iboro a little later today, so I'm gonna give him a hard time about that. He's doing something right that's getting him stuck in people's minds. So I'll tell him to keep it up.
Okay. Another thing that I would recommend are those personality tests.
Yeah.
Because they're super, super easy. It takes you about 5 minutes, and you get a report of, like, perhaps, I think it's 5 pages or so. And for me, they were spot on.
I forget what she calls them, but I was the victor. What was your archetype, or however she calls that?
Yeah, of course. I'm the catalyst. So innovation and relationships. Basically.
Can you share with the audience maybe a little bit more than how that report has helped you in terms of your own, ability to be efficient and effective in work, and maybe how you manage and work with others in your team?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I think it helps you articulate what you're good at and what you're not good at. More what you're good at, I suppose. And then, I mean, at the community lab, our employees does this test in the interview phase as well, so that we know what their strengths and weaknesses are before we even hire them, to make sure that they're a good fit for the position. And I mean, once you know what the employees' strengths, I mean, not only employees, everybody in the company, strengths and weaknesses are, you can work with that, so that it's not just about the job role that a person has, but also what type of personality they have and what they're actually good at and where they need more resources or help from others.
I so love that you brought this all up, because it's so applicable to schools. And you know, I was reflecting at how challenging it can be, I guess, to hire, probably in any organization. But it's so important not just to hire a talented person or even the most talented person, but to hire based on your company's values and the needs. And if you listen to a podcast, and I've written about this as well, but there's this conference every year that happens in August called the Global Leadership Summit. And one of the speakers this year talked about how her company, they asked this question, who would make the team better? So despite whether or not this is the person with the best resume, most experience, etc., do they have the skill set that's going to round us all out and make the whole organization and the team better? And I just absolutely admire and love that you all use the How to Fascinate report. There's other reports out there like Strength Finders, I'm a big fan of. But just to identify people's skill sets and strengths coming to you and say, is that something we need here? Or is there abundance of this skill set already? Mm-hmm. That's just really cool that you mentioned that. And I want to thank you for that.
Yeah, no, thanks for the feedback. Yeah, no, it's really important. Absolutely. And it provides you with so much more insight than what you would have without it, without doing that personality test, I think.
And I think it's pretty, I don't remember the cost, but it's not that expensive either, I don't think.
No, I don't think it's very expensive, but to be honest, I don't remember the cost either.
Yeah. We'll link that up in the show notes, and if school leaders are interested in getting that for their school and want to use it with their current staff or people they're thinking about hiring, they can definitely take advantage of that resource. Lynn, is there a tech resource that you leverage to be more effective at work?
I do use lists a lot. I do use reminders, calendars, and I take a lot of notes. If I think about something, you know, when you get like epiphanies or creative insights, coming to you at a moment when you're not working on that in particular, then I always make sure to write it down. And so I have everything on my computer. Any meeting notes, anything really is on my computer.
Lynn, let me ask you this. Would you care to be vulnerable? Is there an epiphany that you've had recently that you wrote down in your notes that you'd like to share with the listeners?
Oh, wow. Good question. I write them down because I easily forget. Make sure I don't lose anything, I write them down. I think it would be about, because I've been looking at how to build relationships and kind of improve that process that we have. I mean, we have a great process, but it's always about improving, right? And never, you know, stand still and say, hey, we're good, this is good enough. Because I don't think that's when you lose the innovation, when you say, okay, no, we're good, rather than going, hey, we can always improve.
Well, that's a great tip, to be honest. I mean, you know, Jim Collins talks about going from good to great. Bill Hybels, who birthed the Global Leadership Summit that I love to talk about and always go to that conference every single year, he talks about taking an organization from here to there. So I absolutely admire that you write down these key insights and epiphanies that you have, because like you said, innovation stagnates when you think you've arrived and you think you're good enough. But if you have that type of mindset, you know, that's not what you're developing at your company. You have that growth mindset that we can always improve and always get better. Not that where we're at is not good enough, but you could always improve. And can you imagine if we did improve, how much better we'd be serving the members of the community in your case? But with school principals, if we did improve, can you imagine how our students' lives would be propelled or accelerated into whatever they get connected to, or how much better the parents would feel knowing that they're dropping their kids off in a school where their kid is completely loved and looked at and cared for and developed. So that's spot on, and I really appreciate that insight. So Lynn, we're about to wrap up the interview, and this question is pretty wild. But I told you in the pre-interview chat that I really like to hear people's insights outside of education to push us people inside of schools to dream bigger of how we can better serve our communities. So you're building a school from the ground up. You are not limited by budget. Your only limitation is your imagination. So how would you create the school if you were given a blank slate and unlimited resources? What would be your top three priorities building this school?
The first one would be looking at students and making it student-centric and student-centered, so that it's about the individuals and looking at the individual needs rather than the masses. I think looking at employees and their needs is another one. And the third one would be how we can incorporate technology. Because, I mean, we're going into an age of, or we are in an age of technology, and there's so much out there. And it's just looking at what is best for us and how can we become better in regards to this and make the education more individual or individualized.
Lynn, you know, I want to thank you so much for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Do you have any parting words of advice for current school leaders, and what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure. Best place to get a hold of me is Twitter, I would say. Lynn Adelaida is my Twitter handle. It's quite difficult to spell, so I guess it's easier to put that in the show notes.
Absolutely.
My best advice would probably be about innovation and letting go of the mindset, this is the way things are done, or we're good enough, and just always looking at improving.
That's great advice. So school leaders, as we head out of the interview here, just look at your current reality. And if you're happy with the results of your school, you can still be better. And so take a good, hard look in the mirror. Be absolutely honest and sober with yourself and identify where can you grow. Make an action plan. Listen to your employees, your parents, your students, and start moving towards a better organization. Better leaders, thank you for investing in yourself today by listening to this podcast. Remember that life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader. Today's podcast was brought to you by Daniel and Lynn. Be better starting today by heading over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and type Lynn, L-I-N-H, in the search bar, and the show notes page will pop up where you'll get the highlights of today's episode, link to all the resources, and the best way to connect. If you have an iPhone, tap on the cover art, and the show notes page will magically appear. Lynn, thank you for sharing your leadership insights and helping the better leaders be better.
Thank you.
Hey, Better Leaders, thank you for joining us on the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Visit us at betterleadersbetterschools.com, a blog and podcast made specifically for you to help you meet your leadership potential. Do you want to be awesome? I know you do. Please leave a 5-star rating and review for us. Click the podcast artwork and long press the Show Some Love link. That'll bring up a page where you can leave a review. This helps the show stay relevant in iTunes and reach a wider audience that wants to become a better leader. If you'd like to connect with me, and I would love to connect with you, there are also links in the show notes. The blog and podcast has an audience in over 100 countries. Connect with me via email, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, or the website betterleadersbetterschools.com.